children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And our show is brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can find their all-natural organic goods for the skin at www.hydramay.com. That's HYDRAME.com. And they have men's and women's items. All-natural, organic, wonderful stuff, and it's actual skin nutrition that skin soaks up. So please do give that a try if you haven't yet, and the prices are extremely reasonable. Okay, tonight we have BBS's own Dolores Cannon. And if you haven't caught her show, The Metaphysical Hour, she's on Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific. And you would just be amazed to see some of the stuff that this wonderful lady has put out there for us to be enlightened by. Just a hugely prolific writer. And, gosh, I see 33 books listed at the back here, but Dolores will tell us how many more. So welcome to the show, Dolores.
Okay. As I said, we had some confusion, but we're finally on the air.
Yeah, it's really funny. You know, the listeners know I say often that whenever we start having those kinds of problems, I know that the guest and I are going to talk about something really important. And I have some important questions I wanted to ask you about your book. But before we get into that, if you would just give my listeners, kind of bio, who are you, where'd you come from, and what are you doing?
Yeah, okay. Because I know on my own show, whenever things start happening, I just say it's the little gremlins are playing again. they're fooling around. Okay. I think most people know who I am anyway, but I am a hypnotherapist, and I'm a counselor, and I've been doing past life therapy is my main specialty, but I began in hypnotherapy 40 years ago. And then I got into the past life therapy over 30 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. But it developed from normal past life therapy into my healing work because I developed my own technique in hypnosis. It's not like any other technique out there. And we're able to have instantaneous healings in one session of any disease. And that's my main thing. I do counseling and the therapy, but I am focused a lot more on the medical part, the physical part. I have people now coming from all over the world to have sessions, and I'm teaching my method everywhere, all over the world, in many, many countries. So I'm traveling constantly everywhere. So that's my main thing now, but I'm still writing many books because along with doing the therapy, the information pours out of my clients, and that's where I get my books from. I'm not a channel. I'm just a reporter, the investigator. I call myself the researcher of lost knowledge. I try to write about the things that are lost or that nobody knows about or have never been discovered. That's my curiosity leads me to those things. That's a kind of a condensed background, I guess you would say.
Well, and you know, I so appreciate what you're doing, too, because I know for myself, as I read this amazing book, and I've only seen Volume 3, but this book, The Convoluted Universe, the series, is just amazing. I found myself throughout the whole book going, wow, because all this stuff that you write about that have come through your clients, I already know this stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, not every little thing, but I mean, as far as the big picture and what's going on. And so for me, it served as a great confirmation. And I'm sure that it would for thousands and thousands of other people, too, because we all kind of know what's going on. you know, and we just don't quite have it up at the conscious level. So to see these things written down in these sessions that you had with these people was just amazing. And I was cracking up, you know, as I went through this book. I was like, hey, I'm not the only crazy person out there. there's lots of people in this book, and I'm sure there's plenty more in your other books. And how many books have you written now, Dolores?
I've written 15, and I'm working on 3 more. And the next one will probably be Convoluted 4 because I have more than enough material for that one. But, you know, when I started out, it was a lot simpler. I was dealing mostly just with history that I was uncovering with the past lives. But then when I got into the more complicated stuff, it was kind of like being spoon-fed. They would give me a little information, and then I'd absorb that, and then they'd give me a little more. What I'm getting now, I couldn't have handled 30 years ago. So they're very wise in the way they let the information through. And every time I think I've heard it all, there's nothing new, there's no new concepts or theories, then they come up with something else. And I've got to revise my thinking. And you remember at the end of volume of book 3, I said, I thought that was all there was. And they said, oh, no, there's more. And... So they have given me more, so I've got plenty for the Convoluted 4.
Well, you know, but it's kind of interesting, too, because I have to say that the way that you're doing it is the way that I would recommend rather than doing the near-death experiences like I went through. But I mean, it's so enlightening, and I think it could really cheer up a lot of people because too many people have bought into the fear and they're depressed all the time and anxious and so worried about what's going to happen. And I found that the messages that you have in this book have got to be something that would help people who can't seem to get out of the depression and anxiety and fear. Because really you've got it all there very succinctly about, you know, what's happening, where we're going to. You know, and the whole idea that we are so much more than these bodies. And I have found that it's difficult to explain that to people myself because I have an absolute knowing. You know, I'm no longer a believer. I'm no longer, you know, a philosopher about it. I know. And so it's solid for me. But for a lot of people, it's not.
This is what I'm doing now since I'm lecturing on this all over the world. In September, I did a complete round-the-world trip. First time I've ever done that. I go a lot to Europe and to Asia and Russia, but I've never done a round-the-world trip, and it was the first time to go to South Africa. And the people down there, they have books, but they don't have speakers. They were so enthralled and just so eager. They wanted the information so badly, so it's a totally open market. So I'm going to be going back. But it was just like... they'd never heard any of these things before, so it's really amazing. But a lot of people, they are afraid. And, you know, you were talking about near-death experiences. One of my books is Between Death and Life. That's where I talk about what happens when you die, where you go on the other side, and all about your plans when you make coming back. And that's what's gathered through hundreds and hundreds of subjects. And it takes away fear. That's my job, is to make things better anyway.
and you know, that's something that, like, you know, I've talked to so many people that haven't had the near-death experience, and, you know, so many of them say, well, you know, I'd like to believe that. And I just tell them, well, so just believe it, because it's true, you know?
It is true.
Yeah, it's totally true. And, you know, I mean, we go on, and this is nothing. This is just a video game. But, you know, it's really hard to get through to people, even from my own personal experience. And, of course, you know, being in the medical field, I've certainly seen lots of people that have come back, too. And I love those because I understand what they're talking about. And and so, you know, this book, it's nice because it really shows that people, as you access their subconscious, are really having these experiences, you know, and reliving the death and then, you know, waking up on the other side and going into another life. And it becomes very commonplace as you go through the book, which is really cool. And, you know, I'm going to recommend this book for anybody that has any kind of interest in this kind of stuff because I think it can really heal their hearts, you know, get them out of that state of fear.
But, you know, when I began writing those books, my other books were simpler. And I thought a lot of people start at the beginning, you know, and just work up to these, because I say these books are for those that want their minds bent like pretzels. And I didn't think people would be able to understand it, but they said they were ready for it. And even though they didn't understand it, you know, I recommend starting with convoluted one, and each one gets a little harder. But even though they didn't understand it, they said it made them think. So that's important anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I had to laugh when you got to the part where you're talking about the three waves of volunteers coming to help the world go through its transition. And you're talking about, you know, the different aspects. And I just laughed myself silly. I was like, yeah, I was first wave. I kicked down the doors and took names.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a month or so ago, I was on the Coast to Coast. And
I talked about that. It was
about.
Wonderful.
And that was all night long on there, you know, and I talked about that. And I was amazed. The response was tremendous. I've been talking about this on my show ever since, because we're still getting people calling in. But we had over 3,000 emails, and I'm just trying to finish them up now. And the phone didn't quit ringing for over a week, both lines in my office. People kept saying, I know I'm one of the first wave. I'm one of the second wave. He said, for the first time, it makes sense. Now I know why I don't want to be here. And I was amazed at how many are out there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, on the show, I told him, George Norrie said, oh, this is just a localized incident, isn't it? And I said, no, this is happening all over the world. And in my work, they said there's tens of thousands of people now who are here. And we have finally, what is it, come to the critical mass, where we can make a big difference in the world.
Absolutely. So we've got to get the idea that we do create our world out there, because the bad guys are trying to get us to do it the other way, to create the, you know, the negative world. And so, you know, I've been traveling around doing this quantum vortex stuff, and just like they had over the thing over Norway, and I knew what that was immediately. That's a portal opening. And I do it in my room all the time with quantum vortex stuff. So
they're saying on the news that it was Russian missile, but I don't believe that.
No, they're lying. In fact, they had a guy on the radio the other night who was supposed to be an expert, and he says, oh, yeah, we get those things all the time. We shoot missiles off. I about fell over out of my chair laughing. I was like, you know, I looked at it, and other people were saying, oh, it was HAARP, and their, you know, Illuminati families are fighting. And it's like, no, that's scalar energy. It's coming up from the surface of the planet somewhere around Norway. It's you got the negative and the positive spinning vortexes that then opened the portal. And I said, my God, I've got thousands of pictures of that stuff. You know, I've got video. I've got the whole thing. And so I recognized it right away. The question is, what's the portal for? And so that's one thing I wanted to ask you, if any of your clients have kind of given you a hint as to what's happening with that.
Well, I've got a whole section in, I think it's in convoluted 3, it may be convoluted 2, on the portals and the windows. Because I've had a lot of information about them, and they are real. They're all over the world. Usually people don't see them because they're invisible. But the portals are usually used for going back and forth to other dimensions, or to travel through time. And this is how the ETs travel, because they go through dimensions. They don't go by so many, you know, a fuel is going to take them so many miles an hour to get to the nearest planet. They travel through dimensions by raising and lowering their vibrations. So the portals are used for travel, to go into different dimensions and through time. And there are also windows. The windows you can't travel through, but you can look through to the different times. But this one, I thought it was beautiful. It looked like a spinning galaxy. And I've never seen one like that. But usually the portals are described as being invisible.
Well, the one, well, see, this was created using quantum physics devices and lasers, obviously. And you know, I'm using Dr. Fred Bell's stuff, his Andromedan and holographic projectors, and then I hit him with lasers, and I've had those portals open up all over the place. You know, we can make it happen on command, and I've had at one point I had something came out of the portal and went kathump in front of me, and it was a guy. It was about 5'8", and he was wearing a suit with a helmet and goggles, and looked kind of like it was a tight-fitting suit, like velvet almost. And he ran around behind me and started, you know, doing something with my head, rewiring my brain. And so when he got done, he left just the same way he came. And I called Steve Barish, and I said, "Steve, let me tell you what just happened." And he said, "Wow, you want me to go through there?" And I said, "Yeah, Steve's a wonderful distance healer and traveler, you know, and he sees really clearly." So so he says, "All right, give me a minute." He said, "All right, I'm in the room with you." And he said, "Which one?" And I told him, and he said, "Okay, let me go through there." And it took him a couple seconds. He said, "Oh, my God." He said, "I don't know where I am. This is a completely different universe. This is like a wormhole into another completely, distinctly different universe." And he said, "I'm afraid to go any farther. I don't know if I can get back."
See, that's
I said,
a good
"All right,
idea.
You know,
stop right there, you know."
Yeah, I said, "That's fine. Thank you very much. You know, because I like these confirmatory things, you know." And so it was really interesting because, I mean, we can see those things. I've got all kinds of photos on this stuff, and we know that something's coming through. You know, first it started with, like, little bits of paper. And so I knew things could come through, and it was just the size. And when I saw the one they did in Norway, I went, "Wow, that's big enough for a fleet of motherships or this entire world to go through." And so, I knew that the world was going to go through a portal when it shifts, and that a part of it is separating, and not physically, but it'll seem physical to us. But I know that we are actually separating and moving the entire world to another position in a different dimension. And
it's happening.
I actually met one of the guys that's a navigator to do that. And
it's happening right now, too.
I'm sorry,
we're in the middle of it
that.
Right now. It's already happening right now. But then you're confirming what I found. What I was told is that this is the way the ETs do travel back and forth through these dimensions, through these portals. But what you were saying about rewiring the brain, that's interesting because that's been happening to some of my clients, and I haven't written about it yet. There are people who have come to me, and they have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And whenever we're doing it, you know, the subconscious part, the part that I work with, they go into the body and do the healing, and they said, "Well, we're going to have to rewire the brain because otherwise they wouldn't be able to have to get their mindset has to be different." Most of these are people who were abused and had horrible lives, and the only way to turn it around was to rewire their brain, and they did it. And afterward, the people's lives completely changed. This will probably
I've had a lot of different injuries and things, and I had a lot of things that came out when I was a teenager, you know, telekinesis and telepathy and teleportation and bilocation. And, I mean, you know, you name it, I had it. And then I put it away because it scared me and I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. But I was a scientist, you know, so I made sure that these things were really happening. You know, I wouldn't tell anybody what I was doing. I would just go run a little experiment and then have them all write down what they saw because I thought I was going crazy. And so I put that stuff away, and then since then I've had several insults to my brain from different accidents and injuries, and so I figured, well, they're rewiring my brain to help bring me back into alignment for the purpose that I came here for. And I kept seeing that repeated throughout the book, and I was laughing, going, "Man, I know exactly what that feels like," because I had so many sessions. I've been doing this now for, I think, about 4 years. And I've had so many sessions where the beings have come in and have worked on my head. And they've done it to a lot of people that have been in the presence of the beam also. So I know I'm not the only one. So it was great to see that happening while you're doing these hypnosis sessions, too.
I'm not controlling it. You know, I'm not anything to do with it. They just take over and do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're taking every opportunity they can to help us. And, you know, there are a lot of us that have suffered lots of different things that have probably, you know, kind of slowed us down and not enabled us to do the job that we came to do. And so I think that rewiring has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard that until this year that I'm getting clients like that. But, you know, all I do is ask the questions and allow them to do the work, and that's the amazing part. So you're getting a lot of the same things that I'm getting then.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what's so exciting, because, you know, the work that I've been doing, I went around the country for a couple of years and hauled all this equipment with me and set it all up, and basically it just sets up a zero-point energy field. So for people that haven't done their homework of meditation, they can get there instantly, you know, and then they understand. And I keep telling them, you know, that zero-point energy field is within us. You don't need any equipment to do it. But if you don't know what it feels like, and we're at the end times now, we don't have time for you to take 40 years to do meditation, then this will show you what it feels like, so when you get there naturally, you'll recognize it. And what I discovered this last year was that there are people all over the world teaching the Golden Grid meditation, and that's what they gave me to do, too. So I went around teaching that, and I was very, very happy to find out that so many people were doing the same thing. And so as I saw the different things that you've got in the book about these sessions, all this confirmation kept coming up, and including the final solution. I recognized myself in there, too, and I went, okay. I've known this for a long time, because why else would I be able to do all these things, you know? And so I thought, well, I don't think we're going to need to do that. I really don't think it'll be necessary. I think that all we need to do is get people to get out of the fear, to open their hearts and stay in that point of love and joy, and just ignore all this crap that they keep telling us is happening. It's like the swine flu thing. What a bunch of crap that was. And, basically...
Flu? Yeah, the swine flu you're talking about, that is a complete fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling everybody, don't take those shots under any circumstances.
Well, that's what I've told them, too, because it's just all part of the three-part thing to really start killing people off and to instill them with fear, because most of the pharmaceuticals actually make it so you can't connect, and I think that's what a lot of this rewiring of the brain is about. They're having to come in and you know, go around the things that have been caused by big pharma and big medicine and big food, you know, where they've tried to halt us from being able to reach that higher vibratory rate. And so they've got to rewire us so that we can go around that.
I have doctors coming to see me as clients, and they've told me a lot of things people don't want to hear. And one thing they stress, don't take the flu shots. They said there's things in those shots you don't want in your body. It's not like, none of the vaccinations or anything are like what we had when we were kids. There's a lot of stuff being added to it. And I had one doctor, you know, these doctors are getting out. They can't take the medical profession anymore, and they're going over into the natural medicine and the alternative. And there was one of them, especially, who was focusing on autism. And he said beyond a doubt that it is caused by the vaccinations and the shots. Mm-hmm. And he's able to cure autism. And I have him on my Rolodex, and I recommend him to people. And it is cured by diet. So, you know, there's a lot of things happening that we don't need in our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And there's an amino acid therapy you can do to reverse a lot of this stuff, too, that Dr. Marty Hinz has pioneered. And I've had him on the show a couple times, and Dr. Al Stein. They're just amazing guys. They're both MDs. And and what they found was that the amino acids in the brain, the dopamine, the epinephrine, norepi, and serotonin, have all been depleted by even over-the-counter medications. So if people take Tylenol for headaches or Excedrin or anything like that, Advil, Aleve, you know, blah, 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 all the things that, I mean, they're actually good medicines if you need them. And I have no problem with prescribing
but
that
now
stuff.
I've started on a crusade against Tylenol because that came out in one of my sessions. Mm-hmm. I had a woman come to me who was scheduled for a liver transplant. And during the session, the subconscious was yelling very loud and clear, just stop poisoning your body. It's the Tylenol. They said it's poisoning you. Mm-hmm. And all she had to do was stop taking that and the other pain medications because, you know, they came out that Tylenol and the other pain medications have this ingredient in it. I never can pronounce the name of it. But that active ingredient is the one that does damage the liver.
Right,
and
that's
acetaminophen. How absurd to schedule somebody for a liver transplant when all you have to do is stop giving them this crazy medication. Mm-hmm. And she did email me when she went back home, and they did the tests again, And they said it was like looking at two different people's liver. That liver was totally healed just by her stopping all this medication and then what the subconscious did to clear it all out. So I definitely tell people, do not take Tylenol.
Well, the thing is that a lot of these people, they don't realize the pain medications have Tylenol in them, too. It's Tylenol with codeine. And so,
yes.
and they don't recognize that acetaminophen is the same thing as Tylenol. And, I mean, I can tell you, I worked as an emergency nurse for years, and I have seen quite a few people die from a Tylenol overdose. And so, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. A little bit of it's okay, but it's not harmless. Same thing with aspirin. And aspirin actually, you know, comes from the natural plant, from white willow bark. But, I mean, they still don't even understand how aspirin works. And so there's a lot of things going on there that the natural works better because the natural plant checks and balances. Whereas if you take one ingredient out of that plant, then you're not taking all the checks and balances that go with it, and that's why it does harm. But, I mean, certainly if somebody's in an emergent situation, they may need that unless somebody like you is around and can, you know, tap into their subconscious right away or they learn how to do it themselves. But I mean, all this stuff, it's taken us away from the truth of who we really are. And, you know, it's kind of allowed all of these people at the top to control the populace, which, of course, is why they're doing it. And, you know, it's all part of the big game. But, you know,
I look
at all these things that are going on. It's so frustrating to me because I have all this experience myself on the other side. And the stuff that you're bringing through with these people, like, I noticed you had the alternative to a walk-in. Now, I'd never heard that there was an alternative to an actual walk-in.
Uh-huh. I'm getting all kinds of strange cases. That's why I keep writing more books. You know?
Yeah, you just have to keep writing. I think they want you to stick around.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be around a long time. They've already told me that. And they said, I want many, many more books. That's why the information keeps pouring out of people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main things that they wanted me to stress when I'm doing lectures or anything was first, they said, you know, this time right now is a very important time we're living in. But they said to people, you've got to get rid of the karma, because that's what's going to hold you to earth, the wheel of karma. Forgive, you know, to let go. But also they said, you've got to let go of fear. Fear is the strongest emotion a human has. They don't understand something. They're afraid of it. And it's obvious right now that the government and all the powers that be are trying to generate fear in people. So they, the ones that I'm working with, say, don't buy into it. Don't believe what you see on TV and all these other in the newspapers. Think for yourself. That's what I keep trying to tell people.
Yeah, me too. I have been on a crusade to do that now for a while, mainly because not everybody is going to have the opportunity to go out and do shamanic training, which is where you get rid of fear. And so they have to find another way to do it. And one of the things that I've been told is that there's actually going to be a vibratory separation where those who are of different vibrations will go into different classes. And, for instance, if someone has a lower third-dimensional vibration, they'll stay on what would be the old Earth.
Yes,
those
that's what
people
I've written
about. I'm sorry, go ahead. What?
I said, that's what I've written about.
Yeah, same thing. And then the next vibration, you know, fourth dimension, and, of course, there's all these levels within each dimension, too. And then fifth dimension and higher and things like that. And some of the people that are on the planet now that are here to help, they're from much higher dimensions, and they'll go back to that, you know, as soon as they help the Earth through this transition. But what I was shown with one guy I was working on him, I said, oh, my God, you're the navigator. And he said, what? I said, yeah, you are supposed to pilot our planet into the next dimension. And he was like, what? I don't know anything about that. How am I supposed to do that? And I just laughed. I said, don't worry about it. When the time is right, you'll know what to do. And he goes, well, that's a good thing, because that scares me to even think about. And I said, no, that's what you're here for, because somebody has to guide this new vibration that's going to form and, like, split off. Somebody has to guide it through that portal. And when I saw, that's why I got excited when I saw the portal over Norway. I went, oh, my God, that's big enough to fit the planet through. And that's pretty amazing. I was like, yeah, you know, this is pretty cool stuff. And the other thing, too, is, like, you know, so many people are talking about, oh, well, what's going to happen? You know, who's going to stay here and who's going to go? And how do we know the difference? That's the biggest question I get from people. How do they know whether they're going to stay or go?
Okay, yeah, I get this all the time from my clients and everybody else. And, of course, there's the fear thing out there again. Look at that movie, 2012, that is nothing but fear. And it's good special effects. I haven't seen it, but I saw the commercials. They're playing on fear again. But people always wanting to know who's going to stay and who's going to go. It does have to do with your vibration and frequency, like you said, because they cannot change the frequency quick enough to just go. You have to be working on it now. And those people who are into negativity and the things they're not supposed to be doing, they're the ones that are going to stay because they cannot change their vibration quick enough. But those of us, I think, that are interested in this, who know what's happening, they said they're guaranteed to go because their vibration has already been changing. And that's one way you can separate it. The other ones that have no desire to change, they can't do it that fast. They'll be left behind.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is, you know, I find that a lot of what I have to do with people is kind of soothe their fears and say, look, just because some of us can do some things that you can't do doesn't mean you're not advancing, because it's really what's in your heart, and the phenomena is not important. You know, I mean, some people see really well, some hear really well, some can move things with their mind, some can make things manifest in an instant. None of that stuff matters, though. What really matters is what's in your heart.
Definitely.
And the more pure, the more loving that your heart is, then the higher your vibratory level goes. Doesn't matter how many things you can move with your mind. You know, that's not it. There's plenty of people on the earth that can do that kind of stuff that are nasty, rotten people. And I can tell you, they ain't going. You know, they're just going to have to stick around and learn.
That's what they have said time and time again. Love is the most important thing there is. Everything is love. It goes back to that. It may sound corny, but love is extremely important. And if you have love in the world, there wouldn't be wars, there wouldn't be violence. That is what the new world is going to be composed of. And those of us who want to help people, we're vibrating at that frequency. But the other ones, they don't have love. And that's going to be very hard for them to shift over into that way of thinking. That's the problem.
Right, because it has to be a thing that you embody, not just that you think about. It has to be something that you desire to be.
You have to know it. You have to live it.
Yeah.
And I have people saying at the end of a lecture, well, what about my husband? What about my children? I said, everybody's going to have to make their own decisions. It's up to each individual. You can't do
Absolutely.
It for them.
You know, what they told me, too, the ETs have said, you know, basically humans are testing humans right now. And they're being tested to see which side of the line they're going to be standing on when this change happens. And when I went out on the road this last time, I didn't know until I hit Florida that this was one of the dividing lines. And I was shocked and upset. And I said, listen, God, if you had told me that I was going to be one of the dividing lines, I would not have left Sedona. Because that was really not fun.
The one you were talking to in Florida, you mean that wasn't fun?
No, it was fun to go out there and meet new people. So I loved that. I met so many wonderful people all along the way. But I saw this definite division where people were still stuck in greed, where they were you know, trying to get everything that they can. And see, this last time I went out, I heard the voice very clearly the day before I left that said it has to be a donation. And I said, what? Am I out of my mind? You know, gas prices just went up, and you want me to go across the country on a donation? Oh, my God, I know human nature. I thought, I'm going to be stuck in a tent someplace, you know. And it got pretty bad a couple of times. People that could well afford to have donated, you know, the normal price didn't. And they threw a buck in the pot and said, that's good enough. And I had to stand there and watch them. I had to watch their vibratory level sink down even lower, knowing that these people are not going to make it. And it had nothing to do with me. You know, it was that was their choice, that if they could get away with something, they were going to.
Uh-huh.
And that was a shock, and I didn't like that. That's the part that was not fun. And I said, you know, God, I really would rather not have had to be a part of that whole thing, you know. But, I mean, I'll do what I have to do. But, man, that was rough. That was really rough. And I saw other people who had the least gave the most. And, you know, other people that were comfortable said, hey, I believe in what you're doing. You know, I understand what you're doing. And, you know, and these other people, they don't get it. And thank God for those people, because they actually got us from place to place. But it really brought it home to me that, hey, we are in the end times. It's about over. And people need to get their act together. They need to get right in their heart with the source of all that is. And they need to do what's right no matter what.
Maybe that's why they wanted you to do that, was to kind of teach these people a lesson or something. Who's to say?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I just was pretty uncomfortable with it. And I got back, I said, don't ask me to do that again. That was really not
that's
fun.
That's the thing. You know, we have to survive, too, when we're on these trips.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was really quite a challenge. And very, very uncomfortable for a good portion of the time. And, you know, not that I didn't enjoy going and meeting the people and stuff. I always do. And actually, I can get by pretty well no matter where I go because of my travels. But it's been really interesting, you know, to see this division and to know that time is getting really short. And what I kept telling people was like, look, you have got to find love in your heart. You've got to forgive yourself particularly, but you really have to learn to forgive and to love your life and to love every piece of it and every experience you go through, even if it's really rough. You got to love it and love the fact that you're here doing that, because that's your vibratory level. And if you want to get out of this and not have to go through all the crap, then you better get it up there quick.
Well, that's what I tell people. Everything that happens to you is a lesson. It's something for you to learn from. And did you learn anything from it? Because we all have bad experiences. And if they say they didn't learn anything, then they're going to have to go through it again. They're going to have more. But this is very important, because, like you said, they're not going to be able to change that quickly. They've got to get together now. And I've been telling people over and over, the karma is the baggage and the garbage we carry around with us, the junk. If you don't get rid of it, you won't be able to go. You have to forgive. Let it go. It doesn't matter what happened to you as a child. It doesn't matter what you had a bad marriage. Let it go. The most important thing is moving on and leaving all the junk and the crap behind. And that's very difficult for some people to do, but that's where it all boils down to. You have to do it now. There's no more chances.
Well, yeah, and the thing that I found really enlightening in this particular book, too, is that you had some clients that came in and let you know that the memories that they had were memories that were programmed in. They didn't actually go through those things.
Yeah, that's called the imprinting theory. Mm-hmm. That was in two of my other books when I first introduced it, and way back 20 years ago. And my book, Keepers of the Garden, was the first one. And then my book, The Custodians, it was, and Between Death and Life, I also talked about the imprint theory. And I don't think, back then, nobody else had ever written about it before. But it is a way of programming so that you can come into a life, if you've never lived on Earth before, to give you a background, or you'd be totally lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really fascinating. And I think it may have a lot to do with some people. And now, I've seen walk-ins come in. And I know a lot of people who claim to be walk-ins, and I look at it and I go, uh-uh. I don't have anything I can base that on. I just know. But, you know, they feel like that's happened. And what I feel is really happening is it's another portion of themselves that's really coming into them. It's really not somebody else. But I have seen somebody else come in, too, and take over a body. And I watched that happen with my father. He left about a year before he before the body actually died. And he came to me and told me he was going to leave that way. And it was one of those things where I almost went off a cliff, and during the same time that that happened, I got the knowledge that he was leaving. And so I came back home, and my mother was saying something. I said, "Mom, I don't know who that is you're sleeping with, but it's not Dad." She said, "What?" I said, "That's not Dad. He left a while ago." And I mean, I could tell by talking with him, and he had my dad's memories and everything else, but it was another portion or another complete different being. But my dad came back just before he died. He came back for the death scene. So he was there for a few hours, you know, and then he was gone.
He was only taking a vacation. He just wanted to go to the other side and check it out before he actually went, really.
But, yeah, he was very worried about it. You know, he was worried that everything that he'd ever done in his life that was bad was going to send him to hell. You know, one of those
things.
There
is no hell.
I know.
That's what I found. There is no hell. There is no devil. But I've spoke at walk-in conferences, and I know what you mean. I have people come up to me. This one person said, "I've walked in 7 times. I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." You know, a lot of these people, even with the UFO stuff, a lot of them are what I call the wannabes.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of this, and I don't know why, but they're not really, but they think it, I guess it's glamorous or whatever to say they are walk-ins or these different things.
Well, I think it's the way that they protect their brains. It's kind of like, you know, the body will do funny things. The brain will cause the body to do funny things to protect it from trauma, because there's a lot of traumas out there that would just kill us outright. But instead, you know, the mind kind of unhinges a bit and goes and hides something someplace else, and, you know, then you're able to survive and go on until such time as you can deal with it. Otherwise, you know, I'd say probably 2/3 of the kids on the earth would probably have died before they left the age of 6. But, you know, there are so many of those things going on. And what I find is, you know, having been, you know, traveling in other dimensions and stuff, I think what happens in other dimensions that people have no conscious recollection of has a huge change for them here. And, I mean, I've seen somebody walk past me, and I've seen 5 of them walk past, and I just crack up when I see that, because I realize I'm seeing into the other dimensions at that time. And we all have the things where we kind of flip in and out, but most people don't realize it. And, for me, it's been very amusing to watch all this kind of stuff, but I finally figured out what was going on with one of my patients who was really ill and had been for 25 years, and she told me 2 things that they told her she had, and I said, "Well, the first one only lasts for a few weeks and not 25 years. And I said, "And the second one, if you really had that, then you would have gotten worse, not stayed the same." And I was doing acupuncture on her one day, and all of a sudden I saw the whole picture, and I went, "Oh, my God, this was a battle in another dimension, and they killed you." And I told her what I saw, and she said, "Huh." I said, "Wouldn't that just explain all of your symptoms?" She got 50% better immediately.
Yeah. See, this is what I work with. I just put them into trance and let them tell their own story. But, you know, in Convoluted 2, I even read that book. I had a story in there about a woman who had a horrible childhood, like with their family practiced satanic rituals and all of that, they did it on her. So she got to where she was a teenager, little older than that. She couldn't take it anymore, and there was a walk-in came in to preserve her sanity. She couldn't handle it anymore, and the walk-in was agreed upon. They came in to take over, and they could handle her responsibilities, her contracts and everything. So these things, you know, are not on a conscious level, but they were to help the soul survive anyway.
Exactly, because otherwise they really just can't do it. And, you know, I've done soul retrieval, too, and taken pieces of soul from all over the place and had it done to me, and it made a huge difference. I mean, I felt stronger immediately as soon as pieces of my soul were brought back together. And people don't realize that an unkind word at the wrong time can cause a piece of your soul to actually splinter off and go bye-bye into la-la land someplace on another dimension where things are happy. And so, yeah. You know, when you start to realize that we live not as, you know, one complete soul in one complete body, but rather as one soul that's split into God knows how many pieces in many different bodies, on many different timelines, in many different dimensions, all at the same time, that fairly blows most people's minds. You know, they can't wrap their mind around that. But if they could...
I've written about that also. I don't know if that was in this last book or not, but I've written about that also. But see, all of these things, when I discovered them, were really mind-blowing to me until I began to think about it. Then it began to make sense, and so then I was ready for the next challenge, the next thing they were going to throw at me.
Oh, yeah, it is ultimately like, logical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but in the beginning, it's like, wait a minute, you're shaking my belief system here. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, people are still having a hard time accepting the crystal and indigo children and all that kind of stuff. Oh, that's one thing I wanted to ask you about. Would you explain the three waves of volunteers? Because I know people are dying to know, you know, what wave are they?
Okay, but I think we're running out of time, aren't we?
Oh, we can go a little over. Seth won't mind.
A little bit, okay.
Yeah.
All right, because this is what I've explained. I'm going to try to do it as quick as I can. The first wave were those who are like in their 50s. They came in right after the end of World War II. And I'm not going to go into why. All of that is in the books anyway. But they are in their 50s, but I've had some people contact me who are almost 60, and I think they could also be in the first wave. They're the ones who don't want to be here. They don't like it here. They can't stand violence. Everything is it's an alien planet to them. They're very unhappy. Many of them have tried to commit suicide to get out of here. They want to go home, but they don't know where home is. They just know it's not here. And they're the ones that had the worst time. The second wave, I think now their ages, they go up maybe in the 30s and maybe 40s. But down into the 20s, that age group, or the second wave, they were sent in to be like what I call channels, antennas, generators. They were sent in just to produce energy that will help the planet. It will be energy that, it just being around them, you're affected by a very positive energy. And that's all they are. Most of them don't get married. They don't have children because children create karma and they don't want to have to stay here on Earth. But they had an easier time than the first one did. And the third wave is the new children. They call them indigos and all of that, but those are titles don't matter. It's the new ones that have been coming in. These are the gift to the world. And the main thing, you don't want to medicate these children. You've got to realize they are highly advanced. They are way ahead of the rest of us. And I speak at conferences about these new children, and I've met a lot of them. And this is the hope of the world. You've got to understand them. So our job is to educate the educators, to give these children challenges. They're just bored is all it is. Give them something else to do. Those are the three waves that I've found, anyway.
That correlates with a lot of what I've seen as far as patients, you know, because I used to get kids of, well, different ages in my practice, and 9 times out of 10, their whole problem was they were totally misunderstood.
Yes.
And as soon as you started realizing that they're very sensitive and that they're smarter than you think, smarter than we were, then, you know, you just put them into a class that's challenging, you know, let them do something that really challenges them to grow. And then they're pretty happy. Then the frustration drops away and don't act like they're crazy, you know, if they start telling you things about people that they can't possibly know, you know.
Yeah. Yes, our company is probably...
I've seen quite a few of those lately, and all I can say is, you know, so many of them, like the teenagers, I mean, they're so full of angst. You know, they feel the fear of the world that's been fed to them, you know, from the time they were in the womb, and they're so sensitive, and I just keep telling them, just think back about what caused this. You know, like if you're feeling really angry and you want to go kill somebody, the question is, where'd it come from? Don't you know when you're angry at somebody and they go, oh, yeah. Okay, why are you angry? Well, I don't know. Oh, well, then it's not yours, is it? And then the light comes on in their eyes and they go, oh, yeah, you're right. It's not mine.
Yes. This is what I do all the time. I work with people like that. Everybody's got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but, can I give out my contact information before we go off the air?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay, well, the name of my company is Ozark Mountain Publishing, so that's my website, but it's abbreviated. It's OZARKMT.com. For Ozark Mountain, OZARKMT.com. And my 800 number is 1-800-935-0045 if anybody wants to know about my classes and all the things that I do.
Yeah, let's repeat those again, please, Dolores.
Do what?
Repeat that all again, too, please.
Okay, Ozark Mountain, it's OZARKMT.com. Or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. And the 800 number is 1-800-935-0045. And I'm still giving classes all over the United States and all over the world. If you want to know more about them, check my website. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Now, we could go on all night if we just had the time. So I really appreciate you coming on, and sorry about all the confusion. And listeners, please do go pick up Dolores' books, especially The Convoluted Universe, books 1, 2, 3, and soon to be book 4. And check this out, because if you've ever had any questions about why you're here and where you're going and what's happening with the world, first of all, these books will really help to heal your heart and get rid of your fears and help you to maybe see yourself in there. You know, where you'll start to understand why you're here and where you're going and what's going to be able to change things for you. And if you get a chance, do check into Dolores' classes, learn how to do this, or check in with her about getting a private session. And now, do you do private sessions when you're on the road, Dolores?
It's harder when I'm on the road because then I'm doing lectures and classes and my energy goes toward that.
Mm-hmm.
I will see somebody if it's an emergency, but mostly I see people here in my office in Arkansas.
Okay.
And
then,
the easiest way.
Okay. Oh, we need to get your, they can go to your OzarkMT.com for, to contact you too. So I guess we don't need to give your email, but you can if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have so many questions. I'm going to have you on again. And also, people, please do know that Dolores has her own radio show here on BBS Radio. She's on Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific. It's called the Metaphysical Hour. And so please do check in with that. Dolores is a wealth of information. She is one of our treasures. And so please do... just, you know, all I can say is look at her stuff, you know. Dolores is not channeling. You know, most of the time when people channel, it comes from their ego. And channelers get mad at me when I say that. But unless they're a really good channel, I would rather listen to the guidance I get. But with what you're doing, I mean, you're really talking directly to their subconscious and really tapping into those other lifetimes. And that's a whole different animal, you know. So please do check that out, people, and if you're having some difficult times, then please do contact Dolores about getting a session or two and taking a little visit to Arkansas and maybe digging up a few crystals there.
That's where they're at. They're here in Arkansas.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
So thank you so much
for
being on, Dolores, and is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off here?
No, not really. I just thank you for having me on. And if it hadn't been for the confusion, we would have had a little longer time. but thanks for
well, they don't hold me to it. There's
show.
Nobody after me, so, you know, it's not quite so serious.
Oh, that's why. Otherwise, Seth would have pulled the plug.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep, he
all
keeps
right,
an eye on everybody. So thank you so much for being on. It's been a treat, and I'd love to have you on again and talk about some more of these concepts in depth. And God bless you for the work that you're doing. It's just amazing.
That's why we're here. We have to do these things.
Okay. Yeah. It's,
it's
pretty amazing.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
You bet. Thanks, Dolores. Okay, we have been talking with Dolores Cannon, who is a hypnotherapist and prolific author and has some really important information. And we've been talking about book 3 of The Convoluted Universe. And, man, this is it was pretty fun to read through. So I suggest that you pick that up and the other two books in the series also. And also, please do patronize hydrame.com, hydrame.com, for all-natural organic skincare. They are wonderful people. They really care about the product they put together, and they've kept it reasonably priced so everybody can benefit, and it's actual skin nutrition. So please do check that out. And as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
And away.